Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. My name is Joseph Duncan, and this is Vendetta Pro Radio 2K15. Live call-in number, area code 646-929-2066. Call us up, hit us up with comment, a question, an insult, whatever you guys got. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we got former WCW superstar The Stro on tonight's episode, and of course, the man has been very busy since his days in WCW. He's a former, I believe, four-time NWA Mountain State Heavyweight Champion. Been in movies and a lot more. At this time, I'd like to bring on my co-host. This is the two-time former Vendetta Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, the Rock of Love, Billy Blade. Billy,
what's up, fans? Vendetta Pro Radio, Joseph Duncan, myself, the Rock of Love, Billy Blade. We're all on the line, and we are in our studio live in Hollywood, California. You see how I did that, Joseph? You see, we're actually not on a studio at all. We're just on our phones, and you know, because of Blog Talk Radio.
K5.
Oh, sorry, that's right. Yeah, we don't have. Oh, yeah, that's right. Live in the studio in Hollywood, California.
All right. Like I said, we got on the show here tonight. Formerly known as the Maestro, maybe currently known as the Maestro. He is the Stro, and he is online live with us here on Vendetta Pro Radio. Stro, are you there with us?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Great to be here.
Great to have you.
Maestro. Stro, what's up, man? This is Billy. How you doing, man?
Hey, Billy. How you doing, brother?
Long time no hear, man. I don't know how long it's been, like 7 years, right? Somewhere around there.
Man, it doesn't seem that long, but time flies, man. Unbelievable.
It flies a lot, because I remember being down in North Carolina, and you were one of the first people, you know, I ran into, and it was amazing times. You know, a lot of people don't realize it. I mean, you know, when you get off TV, a lot of people think that that's it for you guys, you know, for a lot of stars. That's it. There's nothing else to do. But you've been actively wrestling ever since WCW folded. And maybe you can enlighten a lot of the fans that might not know the Maestro, like where you came from, where you trained, and maybe give them some stuff on you.
Well, you guys pretty much covered a lot of it earlier. I've wrestling's been my life, you know, man. I've done a lot of things growing up, been in theater, athletics, academics. But, you know, wrestling's always been my primary passion. And, you know, I've wrestled collegiately, amateur wrestling, MMA, the Japanese company UWFI, which is the competitors of pride fighting, in which, you know, that's in training with that, I got to meet Mr. Dan Severn and Ken Shamrock, and dabbled with that and learned a lot about submission and striking. And at the time, you know, it was just before the octagon and all that, you know, it was still the ring and so forth. And it wasn't as popular as it is now, you know, with the UFC and everything. So, you know, I stuck with the pro wrestling industry, in which, you know, actually Stan Lane was the guy that put me on to the MMA pretty much. So, you know, I give him all the credit with that. And, you know, I didn't, you know, I wrestled, you know, the Iowa State Hawkeyes, which, you know, Dan Gable was a hero of mine growing up, you know what I mean, with the gold medalist. And, I mean, I used to watch videos of him training, which was phenomenal, amazing. And which later on it was cool to meet guys like Harley Race and Mr. Luthez and Ric Flair and guys who pretty much paved the way, in which later on in life I didn't realize about until my relationship to the original Gorgeous George. As you had guys like Dusty Rhodes and William Regal comparing my style that to the original Gorgeous George, and it just, and I'm, it was perplexing me to the point where I'm, you know, one day my grandfather came up to me and said, "You didn't know?" Didn't know what? And he told me that, you know, Gorgeous George was like my granduncle, and they used to be amateur boxing buddies, rather, from back in the day. And it freaked me out to the point where it inspired me to carry on the name Gorgeous George III and honor a retrospect of his legacy, in which I was known by that name for so long. Traveled to Puerto Rico, Mexico, AAA, Jake Snake Roberts, USWA, Lawler, Dundee, and team Tommy Rich and Doug Gilbert, which we had an awesome feud with PG-13 at the time, and to the point where we got the main event like Mid-South Coliseum, which is huge because, you know, Lawler usually had that bill in Dundee and all that. So, I mean, that was a big honor. And in which, you know, Tommy Rich and Doug Gilbert were kind of like the Freebirds click of the Memphis territory, where like any two of us could defend the USWA Tag Team Championship. And when she turned, I got to tag with a lot of great WWE guys as well. Scott Hall, King Mabel, and, you know, Undertaker's come down as well, and Bob Backlund and all that. So, you know, it was a great experience. And then, you know, before that actually was, you know, to digress back, my first wrestling territory, you know, I wrestled a couple years in the Indies when I started. Matter of fact, I talked to David Heath not too long ago. We were discussing about the Pro Wrestling Illustrated Rookie of the Year, which he won that year, and I was like the first runner-up right behind him, you know, as Robbie Eagle. And which Robbie Eagle is my kind of like my first wrestling name, which was given to me during my Smoky Mountain run with Jim Cornette and Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson, Tracy Smothers, those guys, where it's a great learning experience. And the Fuller, Robert Fuller, Jimmy Golden, Dr. Tom Pritchard, Chris Jericho, Taz. I mean, it was like the past, present, and future all in one deal. And it was a great, great learning experience, which I learned a lot. It paved the way for what lied ahead. So, that, you know, fast forwarding to, you know, my time with Gorgeous George III, you know, it led me to big and better things, obviously, you know, with WCW. And in which, I got hired on as WCW as Gorgeous George. And then later on, after being in the company for about a year or so, is when Randy Savage, Macho Man, who him and Hogan were instrumental in, you know, bringing me in WCW with along with Eric Bischoff, you know, was wanting to give the name to his valet at the time, Stephanie Bellers. And which I got together there and tried to work things out because I was just perplexed as anyone else when I got the news. And, you know, we put our heads together and I came up with Maestro, which was a throwback to my Gorgeous George III character, which actually, trivia-wise, it was supposed to be given to Lanny Poffo at the time, in which, you know, I was cool with that because, you know, I had a lot of respect for Lanny and the Poffo's family. I knew he can carry on the deal. And I was supposed to come in under something else. Reverend Headlock, actually, was the name. You know, all white. In fact, I was going to have a spot on
Did you say
William
Reverend Barrett. Reverend Headlock?
Yes. Yes.
Very creative minds down there in Atlanta.
Right. I was going to get a spot on Thunder in Paradise with Hogan, right? And the more I thought about it, I was like, oh, my God. It just... I don't know. It was just insane. But that fell through. The Lanny deal fell through, in which I kept on being Gorgeous George III until the Randy Savage deal with the valet, which, you know, fast forward, you know, talking to Eric and, you know, Kim the Maestro, which was a throwback, like I mentioned earlier, to the Gorgeous George, their character, but with a musical twist, which I legitimately have from my theater experience, you know, playing the piano and being in theater and all that, and which my envision of the Maestro didn't come out till later on my run with WCW, which I envisioned it to be more of a fan of the opera-ish type persona, to where, you know, it came off arrogant in the beginning, but like it had a darker side, you know what I mean? Well, something would just, whether it be bad music or whether it be anything, would just bring out that darker side of the character, you know?
Which yeah, came I, can out the, I can see that. The Phantom of the Opera, I mean, that would have been huge with Phantom of the Opera. That's always been huge. That I could see that happening, too.
Right. It was just really cool because, you know, I'm growing up, I mean, even like movies and theater, I've always been a fan of the villains, of the great villains of theater and the villains of wrestling growing up, you know, the Kevin Sullivans and, you know, and the Ox Bakers and, you know, I mean, the large in life villains that just stood out. And, you know, I mean, that kind of carried over to, you know, my wrestling career, which, you know, I kind of want to transcend some of that old school villain aura about, you know, into what I was doing. And so it kind of came out through my match fused with like Buff Bagwell and the Cat, Ernest Miller and all that. What I hear bad music, I'd freak out and go crazy. And it was going to go a step further before I left, which there I was going to be paired up rather with Crowbar, Them Storm and Daphne, which you know I was stoked about because I mean we were on the road together quite a bit and it was just like it'd been a perfect deal, but like all things in WCW, as you well know, fell through the cracks and it wasn't just me but a lot of guys and. It was just, you know, we had all the talent in the world. I mean, arguably, one time we had the best talent roster in the entire world. And it was just the people top just couldn't keep it together, man, you know. And, but, you know, we did the best we could, made omelet, a few eggs, and, you know, rolled with it. And, you know, I still cherish my time to this day with WCW. I mean, arguably, you couldn't have a bad match with, you know, the best talent ever, you know what I mean, from all across the globe. And it was just, it was amazing time.
Well, you know, I was reading up on some, because I remember this back in the day, I used to watch actually WCW. So what I used to do when I, just like a lot of people do, you know, they would watch the first hour of WCW and then watch Raw and then just flip back and forth. I know a lot of people did that. I actually was a bigger fan of WCW for a long time there, you know, especially when they try to fool the fans and thinking that that's really Diesel when he's actually on WCW or that's really, you know, stuff like that, you know. But I was going to ask you, what was it like to work with James Brown?
Oh, my
you,
God.
Ernest Miller, I mean, he's a legend in the music industry, and I know you got a music background. And Ernest Miller, by the way, I've worked with him a couple times, and Ernest Miller is an awesome guy. And I just wanted to know what it was like working with James Brown, of all people, in WCW. You never know what would happen. I mean, Tank Abbott's in WCW, James Brown. I mean, what was that like?
Man, it was epic on so many levels. I mean, not even Vince McMahon was using James Brown for anything. So to have an icon of the entertainment world on the pay-per-view and working with a great guy who's a legit three-time karate champion like Ernest Miller, which, you know, we had a blast. I mean, all the stars just aligned for that one deal. And we were still, like, the most talked-about segment in the whole pay-per-view. And, you know, we had Gene the Dancing Machine from the Gong Show in that segment, too, doing the fake James Brown impersonation. Oh, my God. And then when James Brown came out, I mean, the roof just blew off the top of that place. And, you know, I did the Fred Sanford faint. The ring.
Awesome.
which is ironic because I'm a huge Sanford Sun fan growing up. Oh, my God.
No, me too. So that's awesome.
So, I mean, it was just amazing, amazing moment. And it was historic. It was just epic in so many ways.
Well, you know, funny that you mentioned, we'll go into another segment. I do have a couple segments for you, believe it or not. We actually have a set segment, and it doesn't even matter what time it's going to happen, but eventually it will happen throughout the program. So, but it's on indie time, if that helps. So, no,
nice.
But
you mentioned Ox Baker, you know, he recently passed away, you know, a few months ago. And we'll be honored, you know, Vendetta Pro Wrestling is part of the Cauliflower Alley Club convention. We put on the shows Sunday and Monday during the convention. And Ox Baker, we always do a nice tribute video. A guy of ours named Christopher Clark puts on a really nice video for all the fallen stars. Ox Baker will obviously be featured. And you mentioned Kevin Sullivan. Kevin Sullivan will be there this year as well. And now I know that the Maestro will now be attending. Is this your first year at Cauliflower Alley?
Yes, man, I couldn't be more excited. You know, I've been wanting to go for so long. And finally, I'm like, dadgummit, you know.
I mean, you picked the right year. Yeah.
Right.
You picked the right year because this year is the best year. I mean, every year you go, I mean, this might be your first year. I don't think it's going to be your last year. A lot of people, their first time, just are amazed by, you know, it's a ring of friendship. You know, a lot of people meet people that they've never met before, or maybe people they used to work with, or you know, see tomorrow's superstars and like the wrestling shows and whatnot with the Future Legend Awards. So, you know, I'm glad that you're going to be there. Like I said, I've been in the locker room with you. I've been lucky enough to be in the ring with you, and I know you're a really good guy, and I know that you're an amazing talent. And on top of that, like, you have a lot of respect. And that's what a lot of people, we preach about this every week. I know you ran a wrestling school. Are you still running a wrestling school?
Yes, exactly. I'll be relaunching in a few months. I've got a whole new building, a performance center, and everything. So I'm very excited about getting it back going again.
Awesome. And at the end of the program, we can plug that. We'll plug anything you want us to plug. You know, just talking about the respect issue, you know, maybe I wanted to get your advice on the up-and-coming wrestlers, you know, when it comes to respect for the people that paved the way before you, or maybe your trainers or whatnot. Maybe you can give a couple words about that. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. The Andersons, Nelson Royal and Ivan Koloff were the guys that broke me into business. And, I mean, it was hard. It was old school. They put me through it, but I mean, I couldn't thank them enough for all their help. I guess it paved the way for what lied ahead for me, you know, what to do, what not to do, and how to do it. So, I mean, it's just, there's no substitute hard work and experience and getting that knowledge.
Now, would that include, like, just curiosity, just because I'm sure it is. I just, you know, I like for, not to just hear it from me, you know, like people to hear from people like yourself, you know. Is that including breaking the ring down, putting the ring up, flyering, paying your dues? Is that what you're trying to talk about?
Well, in wrestling, you got to be in love with it just like being in love with everything else in life. You got to be in love with every aspect of it. And when you start being in love with something, you got to put everything you got into it, you know. And so, like, when you're paying your dues, when you set up the ring, when you're watching the matches, when you're learning from the best, I mean, that's what it's all about. That's all part of that love, that passion. I mean, you got to go in wrestling at 110, if not nothing at all.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and totally. You know, I'm just giving that out there because, I mean, I think this is, you know, wrestling's all about, I believe, loyalty, respect, if you agree. Knowing where you came
Absolutely.
From and honoring the people that, you know, paved the way before you, you know. You can't be 2-3 years in the business and thinking you know it all, you know. So if you do, then you're in the wrong business. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Exactly. But this is going to be a fun segment. I actually filmed this with you a few years ago, and I actually never did anything with the footage because I forgot, actually. So I had a thing called Ribbed for Our Pleasure, and it's a story I tell people every once in a while because yours was really funny, and I asked you on video, but maybe you can tell us on the phone. It's your favorite ribs of all time that's been pulled on you or you've pulled on somebody else. Now, I mention your story to a lot of my wrestlers, a lot of my friends, just because it was a hilarious story. If you want to tell that story, that'd be awesome. Maybe you can tell two of them if you want. The Jake Roberts story on the airplane is the story I always tell.
Okay.
With the hair. So if you have more than that one, please at least tell that one. If not, please just tell that one. But if you have more, tell a couple of them. But, you know, the forum's yours. Let's have fun. This is one of our fun segments, and, you know, I always tell little stories, and I know you have plenty. So all you.
Hey, Thanks a lot. Well, I'll start off with a Jake story. All right.
By the way, he will be there this Cauliflower Alley Club, just so you know.
Fantastic.
There's going to be awesome times.
Oh, man. We were flying, doing towns for AAA in Mexico. And, I'm sitting back in, my airplane seat. And I noticed I went to set up and I couldn't move my head. And it turned out Jake had tied my hair to the airplane seat where I couldn't move my head, right? And I'm like, oh, God, Jake. you know what I mean? And he's sitting there after I untangled my hair, right? he's seeing the Snickers bar and his briefcase open and his fold out. He's got his drink and everything. He's laughing and all that. He knows I'm starving. Because, it was crazy trying to, we would like hoard the snack machines and stuff on, get sandwiches on the airports. And, so he's laughing, right? And I'm thinking to myself, I gotta get him. I gotta get him, right? So he falls asleep, right? And we landed at the town. And I went over to Jake's seat. I grabbed his Snickers bar and yelled, "Wake up, Jake, we landed!" And Jake freaks out, spills his drink all over him, sees me take a bite of his Snickers bar. And I take off down the aisle. He goes chasing after me, right? But he don't realize the movie projectors from the plane are still down. And, he's pretty tall. He's 6'6". He smacks against that thing. All you see is snakeskin boots flying in the air. I took a bump laughing so hard. And he got up and grabbed my head, started laughing. Okay, man, you got me.
And see, everybody listening, that's the exact story that Stro told me that like 7 years ago, and it hasn't changed. So you know it's a true story.
Oh, here's one on Terry Funk. And actually, it was at that pay-per-view with James Brown you mentioned, right? Oh, my goodness. So we're doing promos earlier in that day, set up for the pay-per-view that night, right? And I'm waiting to do one on my segment with Ernest Cat Miller. Well, Terry and Dustin Rhodes, Terry's going to do his on his match that night with Ric Flair, right? But he had this trash bag in his hand. And everybody kept asking Terry, what's in the trash bag? And Terry kept giving everybody the same response. It was like, I'm saving it for the interview, right? So the cameraman starts rolling, right? Terry reaches in that bag, pulls out a rancid dead chicken. Feathers and all. I don't know how the heck he got it to the building, right? And he starts doing his promo, right? He says, you see this chicken? I shall now compare its anatomy to that of one Ric Flair. See these skinny legs? These are the legs of Ric Flair. See this beak? This is the schnoz of Ric Flair. And I'm going to take Ric Flair by the neck. He's grabbing the chicken as he's saying this, right? And I'm going to whip him like the dog that he is. He's beating the chicken on the ground, right? Feathers flying everywhere. Dustin just collapses laughing. Right, I spit out my water. The cameraman's shaking. The whole joint is just howling laughing. Right. Later on that night, I give back to the hotel. They put up a real nice place, and the bellboy, which was like getting the luggage there in the parking lot, was walking around like he was lost with the same trash bag that Terry Funk in his hand earlier in the day. So I was curious. I went up to the, hey, man, are you okay? And he looked up at me and said, some old man gave me this dead chicken, and I don't know what to do with it.
It was awesome. That is awesome. Hey, now, I don't know. I can't remember where I heard this at. This is I actually know where I heard it from. I just don't remember if it was in WCW. I know you were there then. You were there when they closed, am I right? Or in 2000, right, is when you were let go? 2000
My contract was up, and I decided not to renew it because
it was at the end, right?
the financial deal. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was 2000, though, right? When they when you were like you didn't resign and all that.
Right. Yeah, that was it.
Okay. Yeah. So check this out. So I don't know if this is. I think you were there then. This is a Jim Neihardt story. You know, we had Jim Neihardt on a show in Bakersfield of all places, and I remember like. Jim Neihardt was awesome. You know, it's funny though, when he's rank is when all the rib stories come out, you know, because he didn't tell me anything. But then we went back to his hotel room, and all of a sudden he starts telling me about how, like, and he was drunk, so like his, you know, his eyes, you've dealt with Jim Neihardt, I'm sure, his eyes start rolling in the back of his head, you know. That's when you know he's really thinking about the story. So I remember the story he was telling about how, you know, and it's funny because he was telling the story, and he had Davey Boy Smith's elbow pad on in the hotel room. It was a little weird, but it was Jim Neihardt. Right. It's nothing, you know. And then I think at the time, I think my girlfriend that was with me, I think he was trying to pick up on her. Well, whatever. He wasn't really picking up on her, actually. But you know, he wasn't really, but she thought so. I'm like, no, he wasn't. His eyes were just... You know, but no, he was a good guy, but he was telling a story where he had a briefcase, and J.J. Dillon at the time, I think it was J.J. Dillon, he was the commissioner then, wasn't it J.J. Dillon, or was that a, it wasn't J.J. Dillon, whoever the commissioner was in WWE or WCW, I don't remember who it was, they did the commissioner role, and his briefcase, I guess a bunch of the guys, or a couple guys, shit in the briefcase and then hung it up in the locker room, and I don't remember if that was a W, you know. And he couldn't find his briefcase, and eventually he found it hanging up in the locker room, and they pulled it down, this whole shit, you know, so it was pretty funny. It wasn't J.J. Dillon, I'm sure of it. It was, I just can't remember the gentleman's name, but I just remember Jim Neihardt telling me about the story, and then the next day I asked him about it, and he don't remember anything, because, you know, he was telling that to me. I was like, man, it was such a good story, but, like, I wanted someone else to hear it, you know, so I was like, geez, you know, I was like, but it happens, though, you know. Yeah, we have about, a couple minutes left, Joseph, on the regular cast, and we have an extra bonus 15 minutes.
Yeah, right, we got a couple minutes. I'm waiting, actually, for the, I usually get a voice prompt. I haven't actually heard it yet, so they usually tell me when it's about 90 seconds. So,
I'm expecting that for 45? We're all set up for, okay, cool. We had problems, I think, a week or two ago, Stroh, and so we got cut, like, completely, so. You know, this program has actually been featured on the Washington Post. I mean, all over the place. I don't know what happened. So, but you know, that it happens. But so you're in the East Coast still, right? Are you in South Carolina or North Carolina now? I know you're in South. Oh, you are. Okay. How's the wrestling out there these days? Just curious. What's your favorite? Before I get to that, like, what was your favorite opponent? Maybe going up in the Indies, like maybe WCW. Like, what was your favorite opponent? And I'll go back to the North Carolina area when we're in bonus time.
Oh gosh, you know, there's been so many. You know, I was there with like Ric Flair and Terry Funk and Roddy Piper and Macho Man Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan, and then you know you had all the guys from Japan and Mexico. It was just there's too many to call. You know, what I mean, it was such a great talent pool.
Well, for sure. Now you know in California, she lives in California. Do you still speak with Ryan Shamrock? Wasn't she your valet in WCW?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And as a matter of fact, I saw her in Daivari year before last at a WrestleCade there in Winston-Salem. It's the first time we've actually got to talk, you know, in person in like 10 years, you know, since WCW. You know what I mean?
Sorry to interrupt. We got we got just under 60 seconds left of our regular time, in which we will go into our bonus time period. If you're listening on the phone, you are good. If you're listening online, call us up right now. Area code 646-929-2066. Hear the rest of this interview, or you can hear it later on at VendettaProWrestling.com. We have probably about 30 seconds left now before we go into our bonus time period.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, she's a good girl, man. She's been on a few shows with us here in California. Plus, Daivari's been on a couple of our Vendetta Pro Wrestling shows. And so, yeah, she's a cool chick, you know, and Daivari's actually a good guy, too, and he recently, I think he's back, I'm not sure, but he had a pretty major injury. I think he broke his shoulder or clavicle or something. I was like, whoa, that'd hurt. So,
bonus time starts now.
Okay.
Yeah, I hope he heals up.
Yeah, no, I think he's good, though. I thought I'd seen him in, like, a show recently, or, like, at least his name advertised, so usually that means they're back, you know, so.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
you...
do you want to talk about your North Carolinas? You know, I know that when I was out there, I'll be honest, I don't remember all the companies. I know there's like three or four companies that are pretty regular. I know like Trey G, you know, he used to run a company out there, and Hang Time. And, you know, my dad is out there in Fayetteville, and I think I remember telling you about that Fayetteville, and, you know,
right.
Right there by the base out there. So, like, is there any companies maybe you want to maybe put over? I know you wrestle for so many of them, so I don't know if we have time. but like,
I got some, you know. I can mention. You know, AML Wrestling is doing really good right now. They're affiliated with WrestleCade guys that do the big events every year in Winston-Salem. And AML Wrestling runs, like, monthly events now, TV taping. I'm also currently the UPWA Carolinas champ for UPWA Pro Wrestling. And, those are two that come to mind that are doing it. You know, Trey's still doing his thing, and I think Hang Time and Nice to Get A Brown doing their thing down in Fayetteville as well. And Steve Carino's doing something down in Hubert, North Carolina, I think. A little small promotion down that way, too.
Awesome. Yeah.
And,
I mean,
Omega's
awesome.
Got their thing going on.
Omega's blowing it up out there. It's crazy.
Oh yeah,
it's like back in the day. It's crazy. You know, if we can get all the not the Mean Street Posse, but you know, they had so many guys that were part of Omega back in the day. You know, there was a Joey Abb. That's what I'm thinking of. Joey Abb. Get him back. You know, that'd be awesome.
Trans South Wrestling. I was Trans South Wrestling heavyweight champ last year in South Carolina for a good spell. They're still running shows every monthly too, outside of Charlotte.
Let me ask you just curiosity. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to cut you off. I do that because I'll forget, so I apologize. The South Carolina, do you still have to have a license to wrestle out there?
Yeah, they're like Virginia, you know, Maryland, different places.
I can't remember because, I mean, I didn't wrestle in South Carolina. I wrestled in Georgia and North Carolina, but I think I skipped South Carolina because that reason I didn't know how to get a license back then, you know. So, but, yeah, keep going. I'm sorry. I just wanted to – I was curious about that because I know a lot of a lot of people listen to our show that maybe are interested in going out in that area. And a lot of people may go out in that area and not realize, hey, you have to have a license. You can't just show up to a show and say, hey, I'm going to wrestle.
Right. I'm doing stuff now also with Megastar Wrestling, which is in the Virginia Beach area that's starting to emerge. Every now and then I'll do something for the BWF out of Virginia for Bruiser. Yeah, he used to go do a lot of events with Jimmy Valiant that way. And so, yeah, those are some of the promotions that come to mind. You know, between that and, you know, doing the acting and stuff, which, you know, that's been going pretty good. I just did last season's couple episodes of Sleepy Hollow on Fox. And I'll be in episode 8 of Secrets and Lies coming up on ABC.
Awesome. Yeah, and I'll have Joseph, our PR guy, as well. I'll have him put it online just, you know, whenever. If you can remind us, we'll definitely plug it for, you know, get the word out.
Absolutely.
And also,
I got
go on, that's what I was going to ask you. Didn't you do some movie roles as well?
Yes. Southern Iron, which is kind of like Sons of Anarchy. I'm with this big biker gang that's come out. Epic Dream, which is a comedy. And I got one coming up, premiering soon called The Hollow Oak, which I'm a witch hunter in that film. And I'm also a choreographer, the fight scenes behind some of the witches, kind of like The Conjuring. Dracula's War, the trailer will be out online pretty soon. And we'll be wrapping up filming that later on this year, which my character's like Jacob. I'm helping Van Helsing fight Dracula and the vampires. It's all about war between the humans and the vampires.
Ooh, I can't have that.
My ex-girlfriend, the serial killer, we're supposed to start filming on that, where I'm an FBI agent investigating murders of this ex-craved psycho lady. You know what I mean?
Now, is this a true – is this a documentary, like, based on true facts?
I think it's fictional. Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
But, yeah, we're supposed to be starting with those two soon. And another film coming up where I'm playing a role of a dad and it's more of a suspense film. I can't think of the name of that one offhand, but I'm going to be starting with that one pretty soon as well.
Where do you have time to sleep? I don't get it.
I wonder sometimes.
I was going to ask you, so here's a good question for you. Have you seen the highlights? I don't know if it's out yet or not, but you've seen the movie Sharknado, I'm hoping.
Yes.
You know, now there's a part two, and it's like all these people making appearances. I think it's like a thing to do, you know, to be
right.
in Sharknado. So I heard they have a part three. Now, have you heard, since you mentioned Roddy Piper, and I know you're from North Carolina, and there's Matt Hardy, and have you seen the trailer for Zombies versus Wrestlers?
Yes, I believe I have, yes.
I have a feeling that's going to go global. It's going to be the phenomenon, like Sharknado. I'm putting it out there now just in case it does. If it doesn't, then I'm just full of shit, you know? So, but.
I'll just send you a thing about the Sharknado. I got a picture. It's like Dusty Rhodes doing commentary on Sharknado, and it's hilarious. I'll have to send it to you sometime.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
Somebody.
I mean, it's it's like the RKO out of nowhere. That's a phenomenon now, you know. So we have wrestlers that are doing RKOs out of nowhere, like literally out of nowhere. So, in fact, I just got hit with one in the bar by my girlfriend. It's not. It wasn't
I saw
cool.
that. I saw that. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere. Like, we were just having a couple drinks, listening to the – okay, I want to put this on record just so everybody knows. We only have a couple minutes, but, you know, we picked some music. I did not pick Creed, by the way. If anybody's listening, that wasn't me. I don't mind Creed at all. But that wasn't me to pick Creed. That was my girlfriend, so it had nothing to do with me. But, yeah, we were just chilling. This is our normal spot we go to, and then literally out of nowhere, she just – I don't know. She called it and hit it. And, you know, what are you supposed to do? I guess you're supposed to go with the flow, right? So, but it was a cement floor, unfortunately. And today is Wednesday. I think that happened Monday. And
oh, wow.
She was telling me today, she's like, oh, my back is killing me. I said, so is mine. You know, and it's like she was talking about how, you know, anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is, it's pretty funny, you know. So, but, hey, we only have a couple minutes, so well, you know, we have a few minutes, but you know what I mean? Let's go ahead and, like, plug what you need, you know, how people can get a hold of you. I know you have a few fan sites because, let's face it, I mean, you are one of the people, if I can just say this, you are one of the few people that I know of on Facebook. You know, I think you still might even have a MySpace. I know I do, you know. You're the few people that actually really respond to the fans. You're online and you're basically – very vocal online. You don't just, you know, you don't come on Facebook once every few months. I mean, you're on there pretty regularly. You really stick with social media. Obviously, that's the way to go these days. And you're really good about putting yourself over, which is one of the ways to be a wrestler, is putting yourself out there for people to see, you know. And I remember that back in the day when I knew you. So if you can plug, you know, your website, your Facebook, you know, your Twitter, anything that you need to do, this is your time to do that, if that's okay.
My official website is www.thestro.com, Facebook at Stro the Maestro, Twitter at sign the Stro, Instagram Stro Maestro. Well, anything on wrestling, film, TV, et cetera, there you go.
And, of course, we look forward to having you. The Maestro is actually making his debut at Vendetta Pro Wrestling Casino Week. By the way, we call it the Casino Royale 2015. You're going to be there Sunday night, so I believe you're going to be in – well, I'm not going to say anything, actually. It doesn't matter. I'm actually going to say something just because, you know what, I think you deserve for people to know that you're going to be there. I know for sure that Maestro is going to be involved in the Casino Royale. I'm not sure how and where, but for sure he's going to be involved in our shows for Sunday night and Monday night. Again, we look forward to seeing you. I haven't seen you in a long time. It's going to be a fun time. Vegas, Ring of Friendship. Oh, by the way, Maestro, there's one more event that you have to be a part of. And I'm telling you now, you have to be a part of it. Are you staying at the Gold Coast?
I won't be too far from there.
Okay, that's all that matters. It really, at this point, don't matter. As long as you're at the Gold Coast when this happens.
Because I'm not staying at the Gold Coast either. Actually, the rooms are all sold out. I ended up finding another place. But
that's what happened to me.
That's called procrastination. We've all done it.
Yes.
But this year is the 5th anniversary of the – let me see if I can get the name right. Joseph might be able to help me because it's a long name. It's the 2015 Larry Sweeney, Jackie Fargo Open Invitational Tex Arcana Tag Team Strut-Off.
Strut-Off.
Wow.
So at the bar, you know, at the Bowling Alley Bar, Monday night after our wrestling show, I'd say about midnight because it's not right after the show, we are actually going to – we do a strut-off. We've been doing it for 4 years in a row. We basically have two members basically go down a line and do their best strut. And it's
nice.
In honor of a guy named Larry Sweeney from Ring of Honor who was known about the strut. Obviously, Jackie Fargo was known for his strut. And so anyway, we give out trophies. I mean, in the years past – I think you know Sean Casey. Me and Sean Casey won 2 years in a row, and then a couple other guys. Gabriel Gallo, Dom Vitale, they won 2 years in a row. And now, last year was Short Sleeve Samson and a women's wrestler from Canada named Raven Lake. So the point I'm making is I'm entering you in that strut off. You just have to get a partner.
All right.
You have to do the strut. It's amazing. It ended up being a phenomenon. I'm not even lying. It was in the Cauliflower Alley Club newsletter. This is a little bar thing we were just having a good time with, you know. Next thing you know, last year we had 30 teams. We had 100 and something people in the bar. The bartender, by the way, they probably should have warned the bartender because it was like one bartender. If you consume some alcohol, $5 pitchers. I mean, this is going to be this is the 5th anniversary of this. It's the 5th annual. Everybody's going to be there. So I'm signing you up. I'm sorry. I've already signed you
up. Awesome.
You have to have Maestro involved in this.
I'll have to show you my Freebird PSA strut.
Exactly. We tried to get him in it because he was there last year getting an award for Cauliflower. And everybody tried. But the problem is because he's still on TV. You know, he does the agent stuff and TV. We did it. Why he was not there. He didn't show up until, I think, Wednesday, and we did a Tuesday night. We're like, oh, it was perfect, you know. But it's pretty amazing. trust me, it's a phenomenon. I mean, it's catching on. I mean, like I said, the bar was so full. I mean, I can name so many people that were involved in it. Sin Bodhi was involved in it. Adam Pearce.
Oh, wow.
I mean, there were so many people involved in it. It was pretty crazy how many people were involved. So I'm – Joseph, you just heard it. He's good. He just has to get his partner. You have to find one partner.
That's awesome.
But it's going to be amazing. Psych. So anyway, hey, Maestro Man, Stro Man, it's been a long time. Thank you for coming on our show.
Thank you.
You're
so
one of
much.
My good friends. I mean, I fucking enjoyed working in the ring with you. You're an amazing talent. I'm glad you're still doing what you do because obviously you doing what you do is helping the younger guys in the future. Do what they do because they're going to learn from guys like you. You never had an attitude in the locker room. You were really cool. I mean, I was a young guy coming up, and you were really cool with me. And people remember that. And that's the thing is like people like you are the people that I love having in our locker rooms. And I'm looking forward to having you in Vendetta Pro Wrestling in Vegas and hanging out with you for 3, 4, 5 days. And we're going to have a good time. So thank you for everything, and thank you for coming on our show. And I'm sure, message me that little video you were talking about. And, Joseph, anything else?
Next week, got Chris Masters here on Vendetta Pro Radio.
God bless you
awesome.
Guys. Thanks a lot for everything.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Joe, for joining us on this week's edition of Vendetta Pro Radio. Once again, we got the masterpiece, Chris Masters, on next week. Until then, my name is Joseph Duncan. For Billy Blade and Stro, this is Vendetta Pro.